pretty good band name, right?
Yeah.
Actually, no, I was really thankful. Kat, thanks for being here. That, isn't it nice to have that violin playing? It is awesome. Hi, guys. I heard last week that Nathan said he was just going to stay away from Romans chapter 12 because he knows that I'm going to be on it for the next 6 months. We are. It's unreal. I mean, we took probably 6 weeks to cover verses 1 and 2, and we could stay back there even more if we would like to. But we're going to move on. We're going to move on, as you saw here. We're going to start Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8. We are going to be in Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8 for a while. God knows what he's doing with the timing. I was kind of frustrated with the timing about this. We're going to head to the mountaintop next week. And in the mountaintop, as you all know, the folks that come, a majority of them, we won't see the week after or the week after that. It just kind of keeps rotating. This sermon series over the next 4, 5, 6 weeks is really going to be focused at us. The core of Loon Mountain Ministry, us that are kind of rubbing shoulders week in and week out and in a community together where we are. So if you have opportunity to come to the mountain, I'd really encourage it. If you don't, I hope you can jump online and listen to the recorded up there. I know that the mountaintop is a bit difficult for us because it's a long kind of long walk, a long gondola ride, a long walk down to the amphitheater. At the outdoor church is kind of like sometimes not always comfortable depending upon your age or your ability or your children. I also know that for a lot of you are introverted people who like your close-knit group of people that you know pretty well. And the mountaintop is an uncomfortable environment for you because it's literally 75% new people every week. People coming up on vacation, people coming up, and they're going to come. But I would like to encourage you that if you have come to this church and you at all have listened to the message and you have at all bought into the vision of who we are and the mission of what we want to do, I'm hoping that you would be compelled to make it a point to come to the church service on top of the mountain when you can. And when you do come, that you would make it a point to engage the people that are there. Okay? Our mission is love God, serve community, enjoy mountains. And we are going to be serving a community that has come to enjoy these mountains. And it will be difficult because you will be called upon to start conversations with people you don't know. It goes like this. Oh, welcome to the mountaintop. Have you been here before? Oh, you have? How many times have you guys come? How long have you guys been coming? Oh, that's awesome. Where are you guys from? Where do you normally stay when you are up here? If you're an introvert, write those questions down. Because you can go just like this. Excuse me, hold on. Oh, hello. How long have you been coming to the mountaintop church, sir? This? You know? No, but I know it's intimidating. I know it's scary. And I know that sometimes it's really not even fun for some of you. But we would really like to encourage you to come on up and love on those people. And if you are gifted or willing to jump in with the kitchen crew, it is a huge ministry that we do up there. And we were actually going to watch it kind of go away, the food ministry up there. We were thinking it's just too much. It's hard. It burns people out. God's not letting us. He's literally not letting us get rid of it. And the story behind that, and this is just how we know what God's up to. We just follow him. Last year at this time, we said, okay, we've been asked to not do it at our house anymore, at Marcus and Heidi's house, because it's too many people on our street. So we'll take that as like a closed door. Until our neighbor said, hey, here's the keys to the mountain. You can pick whatever room you want. We said, can we have the restaurant that has an actual kitchen, and can we have that kitchen for the whole summer? They said, sure. Okay, that's God opening up a door. Then we said, you know what? Our Loon Mountain Ministry budget is so taxed, there's no way that we can keep up with the cost of feeding this many people. A food organization in Rhode Island said, we want to sponsor your entire meals. We have all the food that you need. You just tell us what you want and you come pick it up. And last year I went and picked up 1,800 pounds of frozen food. It was absolutely incredible. And he said from here on out, Loon Mountain Ministry, you have a free account with us. You just call my personal assistant, the guy that owns this company. Just call my personal assistant with the order number of what you want, all those mac and cheeses that we have, all the rices that we have, all the pasta sauces that we have, all the soups that we have. That all comes from Blount Finer Foods. How God got us that. There was a boys group hiking in the White Mountains from Rhode Island. That's a Christian boys group. The weather came in and the rangers came and said, you cannot be up here. You can't tent here. You can't stay in any of the shelters. You have to go down. They came down into Lincoln, killing time, decided to shop at the thrift shop. The guy who owns that company said, I remember Marcus from this Christian camp up in Maine. That's his picture on the wall. I'm going to see if we can find him because we need housing tonight. They called me. God provided a million-dollar home's garage. He didn't want to stay inside a building or inside a house, but he wanted to be undercover. I called one of our second homeowners that has a really nice house with a three-car garage that sits empty all summer. I said, would you let a bunch of 12-year-olds from Rhode Island tent in your garage? They said, oh, sure, here's the code. So I went and opened the door, and in they went. And then that next day, the guy that owned Blount Finer Foods was there, and he said, we want to help your ministry. What can we do? And all from a bad weather on the White Mountains. It's absolutely what God is up to. So we have to say, all right, Lord, we're exhausted. Cooking food's a lot of work. Cleaning up dishes, a lot of work. Cleaning up that deli, a lot of work. But we will faithfully serve you because you have not given us the opportunity to say no. I mean, free food, free location. I mean, you can't beat it. So we're really, really excited to see what God's doing up there. So would encourage you. Now, this sermon series for the next little bit from Romans 12, 3 through 8 is going to be about the gifts God has given you. Now, when we think of a gift given, we think that the gift is mine, right? So for your birthday, you got a Viking horn of some sort. What can you explain to me this Viking horn? What's it hold? Oh, ale. I like this Viking horn. So it doesn't hold gunpowder.
No.
It holds ale. All right. This is pretty cool. And you got it for him?
Yeah.
Wait, you scored some big points on that one, didn't you? That is cool. Awesome. So that gift is for you, right? You're not really planning on probably letting too many people drink out of your horn ale thing. Maybe her, right? So when you get a gift, you think it's for you. Every gift from God is for you to give away. That's how you know it's from God. A gift given by God to you is always for someone else. Let me say that again. God's gifts to you and to me are always given, intended for the use to serve others. Always. Your job, your spouse, your children, your house, your 401k, your vacations, all of it is given to you to bless somebody. And so we'll see this play out. All right. So again, I need some volunteers to read scripture. Eunice, I'm going to voluntold you on this first one. Where'd you go, Eunice? Oh, hey, Eunice. I would like you to do Hebrews 11. This is where it gets kind of complicated. I want verse 1, verse 3, and verse 6. Not 2, not 4, not 5. 1, 3, 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. Any other volunteers out there? Can I see hands right there? Tracy, Romans 10, 17. Say again? Oh, Tim. Did you take a volunteer too? Share her Bible with her. Tim, you want Luke 17, 5 through 10? Can you read it? You need your glasses or you leave them at the house?
Remember Luke 17, 5 through 10.
You got some glasses. Luke 17, 5 through 10. Any other volunteers out there? Yes. Isaiah 48, 9 through 11. And for you, coming up Bible student, James 4, 6. All right? Okay. Okay, so when you look at here, it says, For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather than think of yourself in sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to you. So these first verses that Eunice are going to read are answering the question, what is faith? We all talk about it. We're a faith-based organization, or I have faith, or whatnot. Let's hear what the Bible says faith is. Take it away, Eunice. Gotcha. So this is what... Oh, sorry. Do verse 6. Yes.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
So faith is believing that God exists and it is earnestly seeking him. Faith is looking at something, believing in it, even though you don't see it. Right? During Christmas, you watch the Polar Express, right? Faith in Santa was that you didn't see him, but you still believed in him. And remember, he had his little ticket punched, and when he believed, he could hear the bell. That movie is absolutely incredible. If you haven't seen it, you really should. Polar Express. Faith is believing in something that we do not see, right? The famous quote is, I can't see the wind, but I can see the effects of the wind. Remember that famous quote from a famous sermon? We can't see the wind, but we can see the effects of the wind. Right? I have seen the effects of God just too many times in my life not to believe in. Right? Like with Patty last year, when we sat down with the budget and we looked at the whole summer and we said, there is no way we can provide meals for the whole summer. And what did we say, Patty? Me, you, and Sharon said, well, let's just provide meals until we run out of money and run out of food and just see what happens. Next week, Guy says, we want to support all your meals. Well, it looks like we're not running out of food. So we gotta keep serving them. Okay, so we just answered the question, what is faith? It is belief in the unseen. It is a belief in God. Now, how does faith come about? Romans 10:17. Take it away.
Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ.
Right. So how does faith come? Faith comes from hearing the message from the word of Christ, or the words of Jesus. Faith happens to you, and faith happens to me, when we hear Jesus' words and we go, oh yeah. Right? When all of a sudden you get this click moment, this aha moment, where you're like, oh yeah, I am to love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I am to love my neighbor as myself. All of a sudden, it gets it. And so I'm going to have Tim read a story that Jesus says. So we hear that faith comes from hearing Jesus' words and then essentially believing in them, is what Hebrews 11 says. So here's going right to the source. The disciples asked Jesus in these verses, how do I increase my faith? Take it away, Tim. This is Luke 17:5-10.
Okay. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and walk on me, or wait on me while I eat and drink, after that you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he said was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, could say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty.
Thank you, Jim. That is not the answer I want. And a lot of times I am first in line guilty of this, Only remember the first part of that story. We all know if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Does anyone know the rest of that story? No, because I don't want to know the rest of that story because it's not a fun story. And Americans and American Christians definitely do not like the principle that Jesus was talking about there. We hear that, ooh, if I can just muster up enough faith of a little seed, I can do mighty things. Hear what Jesus said faith was? Faith was knowing your position. And yours and my position isn't glorious. Jesus said this, doesn't a master say to a servant, serve me, and then you might be able to eat? This is after the servant has been in the field, done his work. Right? Do any of you expect, after you've done your job, for your boss to be like, now, come and eat at my dinner table? No. None of you think. You have a job description. Nancy, when you teach those children, you have agreed to do that job. You serve those kids with all your heart, with all your soul, and it is difficult, I'm sure, most days. You come home exhausted, right? Yep. At the end of the day, you think to yourself, huh, Scott Currier, who happens to be the principal, who happens to live on her ride home, do you happen to think to yourself, principal owes me a dinner. I'm going to his house. He better have it hot on the table for me. Oh, yeah. Tell him I said so. The principal and I were cornhole partners at a graduation party yesterday. We went 4-0, undefeated. No, we don't think about that with our bosses. We know that we have a job to do. We know what we've signed up for, and we do it. Jesus is saying that's what faith is. Folks, if you call yourself a Christian, if you say that I am a believer, you have signed up to be a servant. You have signed up to wash feet, to wash tables, to serve meals. And all of this is figurative language. It might be literal language. You might serve meals. You might wash feet. But it is figurative language for love others. Love God, love others. Faith is knowing your position. First, we found that faith was believing in the unseen. That is really hard for some people. That's why faith of a child is really important, right? I remember when we went to the bomber site one time. Jesse was 3 years old. Most of the bomber site hiking, to keep up with the whole crowd, I had to have him in the backpack, right? Some of the bomber site hiking, I could let him go. On the ride down, on the walk down, I let him go. At the bottom of the bomber site, there's a giant rock. I don't know if you've ever been up there. There's a giant rock with trees growing out of the top of it, which is kind of cool looking, right? Well, Jesse, three-year-old Jesse, got to the top of it. And everyone's like, we got to go, so we were leaving. Jesse was easily as high as the top of that speaker. He's 3 years old. I was like, bro, we got to go, jump. He didn't think anything about it. His faith in his dad was full send, you know? Now, he's 7 now, a little bit more cynical. Dad has let him down before. So when a ball went on the roof just a little while ago, and I was like, bro, don't throw it up there. I told you that. And I took him, and I took his feet, and I put him up on the roof, right? He scrambled up, got the ball, threw it down. He came down like, all right, bro, jump. The 7-year-old wasn't like the 3-year-old. The 7-year-old went, nope. Like, he got down on his butt. I was like, dude, no. Do not slide off there. The gutter, you will rip it off. Please jump over the gutter. No, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, and this time, it wasn't like he was up there. This time he was probably, I could almost touch his shoes on the eve of our house, you know? And so I'm like, bro, just jump. Isn't that funny? Are you a cynical believer? Do you sit there and say to your father, not really. I know. You know? Jesse has a reason to be cynical. His dad's not perfect. Your father is perfect. Faith is believing in the unseen. It comes from hearing the words of Jesus. And faith is knowing your position. When you come to Christ, you surrender your rights. You surrender your rights. I had a good chat with Craig this morning, and he said, you know what, man, I read in the scriptures this morning. He said, I read the story about Jesus telling the story about when you sit at the table, when you're invited to the feast, do not sit in the seat of honor, but sit at the foot of the table. For if you sit at the foot of the table, then you might be honored by somebody else that says, oh, you should be honored. But if you go and sit at the honored seat without being invited first, you will be humiliated in front of everybody. Because then you'll get there and people will be like, why are you in the seat of honor? Scoop down a little bit. And that is humiliating. And what Jesus is saying with that story that Craig read this morning, what Jesus is saying in the story in Luke chapter 17 that Tim read this morning, is that we as believers, when we put faith in Christ, we know our position. And that don't sit with us well. It doesn't. For the longest time, I was the driver. From when I was 15 years old, when I could legally drive, till not long ago, I just always had to drive. Do you have any friends like that? Have any spouses like that? I just drove. Always. Right? Until about 2 years ago. I don't know what clicked. I have no idea. I started riding. Oh, it's nice to ride. You know, Nick last year, we were going up with the interns to Sugarloaf, right? I always drive to Sugarloaf. Why? Because I know the way, like the back of my hand. No one has to say, oh, take a left up here. I just go, right? But I jumped in the car with Nick, and we went to Sugarloaf. And to sit in that passenger seat was so incredible. And that's what faith is. Faith. Thank you. I like that. You go into a little ditty. Thank you. Faith is 100% passenger. Faith is 100% servant. That's faith. Now, the text goes on to say this. It says this. But rather, think of yourself in sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has given each of you. I don't like the way Paul wrote that. I don't. Because what does the song say? You gotta have faith. Right? You gotta have faith. And according to Paul's language here, it's not you gotta have faith. It's you gotta get faith. Because according to Paul's language, it don't have nothing to do with you. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. God gives faith. And I tell you what, when I really started to wrestle with this week, I didn't like it. Because if I was God, I would be like, all right, you all have a faith deficiency. Here you go. All the faith for you, all the faith for you. If he's the distributor of it, and we have a faith. How can, this is ridiculous. How can God say, without faith, it is impossible to please me. Oh, but by the way, I give it to you. Let's see how you work with that one, puppet. That's what I feel like when I read this. And I have to like walk off my porch and be like, pal, you just told me in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith it's impossible to please you. But now I'm reading in Romans chapter 12 that it's you that give it to me anyway. So can you just quit messing around with me and either let me please you or not, or give it to me or what? Ah! I get really frustrated. I don't know about you. If you're not getting frustrated reading your Bible, then you're on autopilot. You're just taking in what it says like every good Christian does. Folks, God doesn't want you to read it like that. He wants you to wrestle. He wants you to hold him to his word. He wants you to grab him and say, "What do you mean by this, you weirdo?" Because how am I supposed to please you with something that you give me? And then I come to portions of scripture like this that are by far the hardest for me to really understand. Because like I said, if I was God, I would give you all a ton of faith. Because isn't that just our problem? That we don't have a lot of faith? Right? If we could just be given it by God, we could just crush this. Hosea's got it. These are verses that explain this, and it's not fun. I don't like this answer. Go for it.
"For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another."
For my own sake, for my own sake, for my own sake, for my own sake. God is for his glory and nothing more. This is not warm and fuzzy Loon Mountain ministry. This is not the good, good Father that we sing about in church, that just runs across the field and takes us in his arms and is all about me and my feelings. But we love to sing about him, don't we? Man, we hope that that's what he is. But what is our faith? Our faith is in this warm and fuzzy Father. And when reality hits, and it's cold, and it's harsh, and it's hard, we don't faith in that. We don't like that. And one of the things that I'm really being convicted as a teacher of the scripture, is that to help you wrestle with all things. Because is God a warm, loving, kind Father? Yes. There's multiple scriptures that say that. Right? Paul, the same author as Romans chapter 12, says this: "It is God's kindness that leads us to repentance." So he is kind. But this same author right now is telling me that God grants faith to who he wills. And when I listen to Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah gives me a stark reality that says, bro, God's in control, and you got to get that through your head. Every single one of you, every single one of me, weird. I guess I'm 270 pounds. So every single pound of the 270 of me, every single one of you has got to declare in your life, you drive. You drive. You drive. You drive. Right? Ever been in an argument with somebody over something and finally you throw your hands up and go, you drive. You drive. Whatever. You've got to come to that with Christ. You've got to come to that with God. Because all of us are willing to do it in good times. Oh, I like this road, God. You're taking me on a great scenery. I love the loop ins. I love the sunset. I love the ice cream shop up around the corner. But when it's stormy and you can't see anything and you look off to the side, couple weekends ago, Memorial Weekend, the Coreys drove our van up the Mount Washington Auto Road so that we could ski the snowfields. It was awesome. Except for one little problem. I had forgot that my thermostat in my van had stuck open in the winter time. So I was only up the 8 mile auto road, maybe a mile, when I saw my thermostat go right to the red by the H. And if I went any below 20 miles an hour going up that road, it would creep right back up to the H. But if I could keep it above 20 miles an hour, it would stay kind of in the middle. Have any of you been on the Mount Washington Auto Road? We were doing between 25 and 40 up the Mount Washington Auto Road. How do you think the faith of my children and my wife were in me? Have you seen some of those drop-offs to the right and to the left? It was absolutely a riot. We'd be flying along, and in the Corey van, whoever was on the driver's side would be on the edge driver's side, and they'd be like, oh! And then all of a sudden, we'd be on the edge, the passenger side, and be like, oh! You know? And it was a riot just to watch them shift like this in their seats, you know? And then, you know, and so I would be looking at the thermostat or the thermometer on the dashboard, and I'd be like, Marcus, the road. And I'd be like, okay, not H. And then we'd get behind somebody that was going slow, and so then it would climb right up, and I'd have to stop and wait to get a, okay, great, there's nobody, quick, pull out, whoom, and we'd go 40 miles an hour up again until we caught up with somebody, and then we'd pull off, and we'd wait for them to go for a little bit, and like, whoom, again, you know, because there were some friends of ours that didn't have a problem, and they went right to the top. And we started steaming only 2 miles up, so I had to pull over and let steam. And do you think I was going to be left out from skiing on the top of Mount Washington? No! This van was taking us, even if it had to be 40 miles an hour. I have no idea why I told you that story. Oh, yeah, let God drive. Not Marcus. Let God drive, not your pastor. Let God drive. I can't drive. All right, back to my notes so we know what's going on here. Paul has told you God is awesome. He told you that at the end of chapter 11. And because God's awesomeness, because God's mercy, you and I are to present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable act of duty for how awesome he is and how merciful he is. Then he says for us to renew our minds daily, right? Transform your mind by the renewing of your mind, and don't be conformed to this world. Remember, transform has happened on a treadmill, conform has happened on a couch. Remember that? Transform is an active thing. Conform is a passive thing. The world is always putting in to us, right? And it's not just Netflix, and it's not just TV. It's just our natural flesh. It's always putting in to us. So transform is a choice daily to do it, okay? Now, what Paul is saying is that this is a way of thinking. This way of thinking, right? This way of thinking is that faith is understanding your position, and your position is low. A transformed mind is always humble. Let me say that again. A transformed mind is always humble. So now that Paul's got you thinking in that way, he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Know that it's all from God. Any faith that you have, it's from God. Any opportunity that you have to serve him, it's from God. You can't take any credit. And he's looking right at me when he's saying this. Humility is key to being used by God. And humility is always the product of a renewed mind. And I'm horrible at this. I literally studied this morning on the porch. Got off the porch and got frazzled by all of the to-do that's needed for Party in the Park today. Buns, still frozen. Hamburgers, frozen. Hot dogs, frozen. Do we have cups? I have no idea. Do we have plates? We're not really sure. What's going on? I don't know. Do we have propane? Oh my goodness. What about the grill? So now I just went from God, your faith for me is amazing. I'm getting ready to preach this sermon. And then I walk off the porch and I'm like, Craig, where are the cups? Why is the buns not out of the freezer? Craig! Craig's like, whoa, bro. Don't bro me. I was just in the presence of God and now I'm upset. It's ridiculous how quick I went from thinking about being humble to not humble at all. I just totally exerted myself above Craig and made his morning really bummer. Craig floated out of the basement this morning. He just floated until he met his pastor, and I popped his balloon, and he just fell like a leaf to the floor. But thankfully, this is a good day for Craig. He wouldn't let me just do it. And I'm thankful for him because he had grace. He had grace on his roommate. He had grace on his pastor, which I'm really thankful for. And I've popped all of your balloons. And if I haven't popped your balloon, I'm going to just hang out in my office. I will say something stupid. But guess what? Your pastor shouldn't be driving your car. If he is, you're going to be going up Mount Washington at 45 miles an hour because he wants to ski. God's desires are way better than your pastor's. And I forget so quickly what I've studied. I forget so quickly what I've preached to you. I forget. I have spiritual amnesia. Bad. We all do, don't we? We all do. Paul says that when you renew your mind, you think humbly about yourself. And when you think humbly about yourself, you're in a state of faith. Because you know your position, a servant. And you know what's incredible about this God? It comes full circle. Remember me getting angry at him about not giving faith? Like, wait, how can you be mad at me? How can you say I'm not pleasing you because something you haven't given me? Remember that? Remember that thing I got mad at him about? Listen to this next verse. This is awesome. All right, Bible student, send it, bro.
Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
That's James 4:6.
Oh, wait.
That's a very good verse. I'm like, whoa! I was hoping for a little bit more lifting of the verse. If you're friends with the world, you're enemies with God. Take that, you bunch of sinners.
I really need to go to Bible school.
Don't you need to go to Bible school. All right. James 4:6. Try this. Like, let's try again.
But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Hear that? There we go. Remember, I was angry at God. I'm like, what? How can you be angry at me about something I'm not giving you that you were supposed to give me? This is a psychological crazy thing. Right? But what he says is he gives grace to the humble. And our Father knows what he's doing. And it is very difficult to believe in that during rough times. He gives grace to the humble. When you renew your mind daily on his truths, it's daily you have to, because the world is, it's a rugged place. It's a rugged place. We have cancer. People die, right? We have lust. We have envy. We have jealousy. We have gluttony. There is just an endless barrage of attack. We daily, hourly, need to be renewing our mind so that we can think about ourselves in a low position and to have the faith granted by God. And when we're humble, he gives grace. I have a friend who is extremely humble. I don't know about you, but if you have a friend like this, I bet you anything, they are blessed. I bet you watch their lives and you go, how did you get that promotion? Do they not know where you went to school? You know? How did you get that opportunity? You just watch them. They're humble. I have a friend who has not wanted a leadership position in his hospital, and his hospital has over and over and over again given him huge leadership positions. I love it. He's a humble man. I have so much to learn from him. Why he's a friend of mine, I really don't know. I think it was because my mother, and this is a true story, my mother saved his life at birth. Right? So maybe that's why. But he's awesome. He's a really, really cool guy. And he's humble. God gives grace to the humble. So what does this all have to do with church? What does this all have to do with the gifts? I like what John Piper has to say. He says this, and I'm going to end it with this. Because remember, we're going to talk about these gifts that God's about ready. I'm hoping over the next couple of weeks, you guys will be able to look at the gifts that Paul talks about here. Every single one of you that has been put your faith and hope in Christ has a gift. And it's not for you. It's to be shared. This is what John Piper says. He says, one of our goals in the series of this messages, and this is his messages on Romans chapter 12, on the church is to discover what it means to be the church. Is church mainly a come and listen series of events? In other words, is this church just supposed to be you showing up here on Sunday morning to listen to some music, to hear me say some words, and to eat some food? Lord, I hope not. Because if that's the case, I'm taking my Bible and going home. And no. This is fun to get together and talk about what's going on in the week and see each other and high five. But is it just that? Is it just mainly a come and listen series of events? Or is a church a meet and minister series of gatherings? Meaning that whenever you meet, that ministry is taking place. You are ministering and being ministered to. That the main thing in being the church is every member growing in the ability to minister a unique grace to others in the body and a unique witness to those outside and a unique tribute to God in heaven. Let me say that one more time. What we're doing right now should be an opportunity to grow and the ability to minister to one another. You to you, and you to you, and you behind you, and you in front of you. This should be an opportunity to grow in ministering to one another. You want a chance to grow? Jump in with Patty in the kitchen. You will grow. One, you'll learn some really cool recipes. She knows what she's doing. Have you seen it? She has grown lean, and she's grown in well. You will grow. You will learn. You will learn. But you will also clang. You will butt heads. You'll say, oh, I was late, or you were late, or you didn't wash that, or I need to wash this. I'm feeling left out. You didn't tell me this. I don't like that recipe. This is how we do it. That's how you learn to minister. Want to learn to minister? Jump in one of those Sunday school classrooms. You'll have to deal with my son. He will grow you very quickly. Right, Nancy?
Oh, yeah.
He acts just like his mother. Want an opportunity to grow? Jump in with our friend Scott Bartlett. Come here in the morning and set up chairs. Or hang out with us afterwards and put them away. 2 weeks ago, we had a dance party. We'll even teach you some moves. You know? You want a chance to grow? Just invite your neighbors over for dinner. Just dinner. Right? Just hey, come on over. You know? And if you're lucky, they might even leave. and this is cool, a unique witness to those outside. That we're working together to understand to be a unique witness to those outside the body of believers. And that we can, together, be a unique tribute. Remember I told you what worship was? Worship is giving value to something. Loon Mountain Ministry, Marcus Corey, we want to live our lives in a way that brings value to Jesus. And it's not so much bringing value to him, because he's the most valuable thing. It's more pointing to his value. I don't care whether you mow lawns, you change diapers, you fold laundry, you go to school, you're the CEO of something, you are retired. I don't care what you do. You can live in a way that points to the glory of God. And when you do, you're doing what you were designed to do, and you're living at your fullest potential. And that's a cool way to live. Not easy, cool way to live. I know I've been all over the place, but we're going to get into this. A renewed mind thinks of yourself humbly. A humble person has faith. A humble person is given grace. And a humble person is given gifts. It's given gifts. And I am sorry. You do not have a great example in your pastor of a humble person. It's not one of my tribute or gifts or whatever you call it. Heidi reminds me of it daily. After my little clash with Craig this morning in the kitchen, Craig went downstairs and my very wise wife said, "If I was Craig, I wouldn't be your friend." And she walked out of the room. Literally what she said. Wisdom from 5'4" right there. Scott Bartlett, what are we doing next week?
We are
switching the cable. Next week, we're switching the cable. There will no longer be the satellite campus here at, see what I did there?
Yes, right.
Community Center. We will be on the mountain. So
you'll be alone.
Yes, if you come here, you'll be alone. 10:30, it is Father's Day. We will not have a meal up there next week. Please take your dad out and buy him some barbecue. No one, Heidi's not even here. Is this recorded? Good. Barbecue.
You make sure she listens to it.
Yeah. And we will see you guys next week. No, actually, if you can, we would really love it if you came and joined us at Party in the Park. You don't have to be a softball player. Don't get worried. You just literally drive up this street, okay, until you see the Kank Motor Lodge, Brittany's Cafe, CJ's Penalty Box. It's a big hotel up there. You take a left right across the street from it. It's this tiny little road. You come to the end of that, take another left, and we're right there on the right. Okay? So it's just left out of here, left on the little road across from the Kank Motor Lodge, left onto the road that it tees into, and there we are on the right. Can't beat us. The Kank Rec area. It's where our youth group meets. So now you can just know where that is. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for this day. We thank you for Party in the Park. We just want to go and have a good time out there, Lord. We love you so much. Lord, I ask that you would take this message that I felt kind of was all over the place, and that you would use it for your glory, that you would help by the power of the Spirit these people to take this in, and to me to take this in and understand that renewing our mind is a humbling process. Humility leads to faith. Faith and grace are mixed. When faith and grace are mixed, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, there is salvation. And salvation is something that is seen by others. And it's incredible. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
To clarify.